Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The Tom Hartman Program. Tom Hartman. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Today, the day that Iowa, about 6/10 or 6/100 of 1%, or is it 6/10 of 1%? Anyhow, a fraction of 1% of the American public is going to have some say, certainly not a final say, but an initial say, in who are going to be the Democratic and Republican nominees for president. A lot in the news. I'd like to just touch on a couple of items first, and then I want to share with you some of the closing ads for some of the candidates and some of the nominees, and perhaps some insights that aren't the normal things that you hear on, you know, on corporate media and whatnot. First of all, this whole thing with Mukasey yesterday. Michael Mukasey, the judge who was tragically confirmed as Attorney General for the United States, released a press release in which he said, "I have asked John Durham, the first Assistant United States Attorney in the United States Attorney's Office for the District of Connecticut, to serve as Acting United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia for purposes of this matter." So he's essentially saying that he's going to launch a criminal investigation into the destruction of the torture tapes by the CIA. And what this will do, and what amazes me is that nobody in the media, with the singular exception, as far as I could tell, of Keith Olbermann, nobody in the corporate media picked this up at all. What this is going to do is it's going to make it virtually impossible for Congress to investigate this. Because any subpoena effort, any other kind of effort, number one, is going to be answered with, "Oh, well, there's an ongoing criminal investigation. We can't comment on that. We can't let you." You know, number one, is going to make it impossible for Congress to investigate. Number two, rather than appointing even a semi-independent investigator or a prosecutor, as they did with Patrick Fitzgerald and the Scooter Libby case, this guy is simply an employee. He's just an out-of-town employee, that's all. And they're bringing him into town and saying, "Oh, this is independent." No, it's not independent. We need an independent special prosecutor, completely independent of influence. And why? Well, the main reason why is the 700 or 900 pound gorilla or whatever the cliche is in the room that nobody is pointing out. And that is that these tapes have to do with the commission of a crime. The crime that should be being investigated isn't the destruction of the tapes. The crime that should be investigated is the commission of the crime of torture, which is against the law in the United States and is a violation of international law as well. And by Mukasey saying that he's going to investigate this, he's going to narrowly circumscribe the investigation. He's going to limit it to a few things. You know, who destroyed them? Was it a criminal thing that they destroyed? Completely setting aside the issue of the crime of torture itself, which apparently reaches all the way to the White House and apparently all the way to George W. Bush. So once again, here we see the administration protecting itself. And this, you know, just frankly, I think one of the greatest miscarriages of justice that we've seen in some time, a substantial one, a terrible one. This is not outside, it's not special, it's not independent, it's nothing. John Conyers. Again, this was not picked up, as far as I could tell, by any of the national corporate media. John Conyers issued a statement pointing out essentially this. John Conyers, who's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, the committee that, you know, arguably if the Justice Department hadn't stepped in and said, "Okay, we'll do a criminal investigation," Conyers could have done it. He says, "Because of this action, the Congress and the American people," I'm quoting Congressman John Conyers, "because of this action, the Congress and the American people will be denied, as they were in the Valerie Plame matter, any final report on the investigation." Equally disappointing, he says, is the limited scope of this investigation, which appears limited to the destruction of two tapes. The government needs to scrutinize what other evidence may have been destroyed beyond the two tapes, as well as the underlying allegations of misconduct associated with the interrogations. In other words, torture. The Justice Department's record over the past 7 years of sweeping the administration's misconduct under the rug has left the American people with little confidence in the administration's ability to investigate itself. And make no mistake, by the way, that's from John Conyers. Now, this is my rant part of it. Absolutely. I mean, this is the bottom line here is that Mukasey has said, "Oh, we will investigate ourselves, and we will let you know if we decide that we committed any crimes." Back to John Conyers. Nothing less than a special counsel with a full investigative mandate will meet the tests of independence, transparency, and completeness. Appointment of a special counsel will allow our nation to begin to restore our credibility and moral standing on these issues. Yeah, but nobody wants to talk about that. Yesterday, gold went through the roof. Oil hit over $100 a barrel. The dollar continued to fall against the euro and most other currencies, the British pound being one of the few exceptions. Why? Well, in part, what we're seeing is the consequence of 26 years of Reaganomics. And again, this is something you're not going to hear about or read about in the corporate media. And there's only a couple of presidential candidates who are actually talking about this, that this is the explicit failure of Reaganomics. And pretty much 26 continuous years of it. Of the outsourcing of our jobs. The United States being converted from the largest creditor nation in the world. In other words, more countries in the world owed us money. We had loaned money to more other countries in the world than any other nation in the world when Reagan came into office, to today our being the largest debtor nation in the world, from our being the largest manufacturing nation in the world to our being the largest importer of manufactured goods, from our being the largest importer of raw materials so that we could manufacture things and sell them to the rest of the world and to ourselves, to our being the largest now exporter of raw materials. That's what a third world country does, is they sell off their resources. The absolute failure of Reaganomics. Now, the thing is, there are some people who have just made out wonderfully under Reaganomics, many of them being the millionaires who you see on national television as commentators and as reporters. We really should put reporters in quotes these days when it comes to particularly to the television media, because they're really stars. You know, Walter Cronkite had a nice middle class salary. These people are making millions. And as such, their interests are more congruent with the interests of General Electric Corporation than they are with the interests of you or me, of average Americans. And so we see headlines like in today's Financial Times. Car makers brace for hard times as U.S. sales slump to 9-year lows. Analysts estimate total 2007 sales are just over 16 million units, the lowest level in 9 years. Ford's market value has shrunk by almost a third since July. Pickup sales were 11.2% lower in November than a year earlier. There was a sidebar article to this that I thought was particularly interesting. This, again, on the front page of today's Financial Times. And, again, this, frankly, with the candidacies, you've got a couple of relatively populist candidacies out there. Barack Obama, to some extent, John Edwards, clearly and explicitly, Dennis Kucinich, clearly and explicitly, Ron Paul, clearly and explicitly, and, oddly, Mike Huckabee, to some small extent. Some relatively populist candidacies. And here's the anti-populist end of it. Stock exchanges outside the U.S., including the London Stock Exchange, could provide direct trading access to U.S. investors through U.S.-based brokers for the first time under proposals being prepared by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So this is like the last barrier. All right, the last thing that will keep U.S. money inside the U.S. We used to have barriers like tariffs that would keep U.S. corporations manufacturing in the United States. We did away with those under Reagan, Bush, and Clinton. And we're doing away with even more. And at the same time that other countries are starting to jack up tariffs And now even the stock exchange. So, you want to invest? That's fine. You can invest in the London exchange. I mean, it is possible, and very wealthy people do this all the time. But the average investor in the United States basically is investing in U.S. companies. Yeah, oddly, I mean, can you call General Electric a U.S. company when more than half of their business is done outside the United States? That's a tough one. But in any case, the bottom line, globalization, good for big investors, bad for America. And they want to globalize the stock exchange now. And the same thing, you know, oil going through the roof. What's this going to mean for the election? And I want to bring this back to Michael Bloomberg and his possible candidacy right after the break. Talk about that just for a little bit. Because could this be, under the rhetoric of not being partisan, could this be the corporatist takeover of America? 16 minutes past the hour.
Exposing the con in conservative, this is the Tom Hartman Program. Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The Air America Cruise, brought to you in part by ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Pack up your swimsuit, sunglasses, and sombrero, because we're going to Mexico on the first ever Air America Cruise, sailing this February on the Mexican Riviera. And hang out with yours truly, plus the rest of your favorite Air America hosts. Call 1-800-955-7018. Call 800-955-7018 right away, or visit airamericacruise.com.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Joyfully Subversive.
I said that right. His last name is Christ.
Tom Hartman, Heidi Tauber, and Carl Wolfson.
That's a lot of pressure in school, I'll tell you that. When you go in school, I'm Christ. All right, well, here's an A.
It's live and local.
You never see, like, Christ's mattress company or anything, do you?
Tom Hartman, Heidi Tauber, and Carl Wolfson.
The closest I've seen was a deli called Jesus of Nazareth. I think that's the closest I ever saw to that.
Morning 6 to 9, AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Service. It's the way we run to greet you, the way we clean our stores, our on-the-spot warranties, and helpful, friendly people. It's keeping the West's largest selection of tires and wheels in stock to save you time, and all the free extras we provide to save you money. If you haven't been in to see us recently, stop in for a visit and experience Les Schwab service for yourself.
It's bargain days time at Les Schwab. Special savings on tires, wheels, batteries, and more. Different deals in every store. Hurry in. Bargain days ends January 31st.
Every Portland homeowner out there paying more than 5.8% on your mortgage needs to jump off the sidelines right now to save a substantial amount of money. The Fed's monumental decision to slash rates for the third time in a row has just blasted mortgage rates through the floor. I'm Hayes Barnard, owner of Paramount Equity Mortgage, and today's turbulent economy has just created an unmatched opportunity for you to put real money back in your pocket every single month. Decisive homeowners are rapidly reducing their monthly payments by locking in fixed rates as low as 5.8% with an APR of 5.9. Listen, you can refinance at this pivotal time with zero out-of-pocket expenses, and I'll even pay for your home to be appraised. Paramount Equity is committed to saving our neighbors money. Call 718-1000 today. 503-718-1000.
Paramount Equity.
We don't get many second chances. This one could save your life. A TIA, or transient ischemic stroke, is a mini stroke. Symptoms usually go away within 24 hours and you feel fine again. But if you don't get to a stroke center or hospital fast, you risk a full-fledged stroke that can change your life forever. Don't take that chance. Contact National Stroke Association at 1-800-STROKES or visit stroke.org and find out more about recognizing stroke symptoms fast. Do it now, while there's still time.
Imagine filling a boardroom with 14 celebrity egos and telling them to get to work.
Don't you ever say that to me.
This ought to be good. Tonight, The Apprentice is back on NBC Celebrity Style. The players are famous. Lennox Lewis, Gene Simmons, Tito Ortiz, and more. And even though it's for charity, doesn't mean they're going to play nice.
That was an old school beatdown.
No managers, no assistants, and one by one, they'll hear this.
You're fired.
The Celebrity Apprentice starts tonight on NBC.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back, 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. The program, the Tom Hartman program, brought to you in part, by the way, by the 200,000 health and hospital workers at SEIU 1199, fighting for quality, affordable health care for all Americans. Keeping our families healthy should be a right, not a privilege. And in my humble opinion, if you read the Declaration of Independence, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, I realize it's not a legal document. Read the Constitution, the preamble to the Constitution, the general welfare, which is a legal document. I believe that it is a right. That it's right there in the Constitution. But nonetheless, we need to take it a step farther. So, Michael Bloomberg, you know, there's all this talk about Bloomberg getting into the election and as an independent. And the history of independence, and I'm just, you know, there's a part of me that is a little concerned about this. Concerned may be the wrong phrase, but, and it's not just Bloomberg broadly, but There's a history of third-party candidacies that is, shall we say, problematic. You know, Teddy Roosevelt in 1912 got a little over a quarter of the entire vote. And the result, you know, threw the vote to Woodrow Wilson, as I recall, to the Democrat. Robert La Follette in 1924, 16.5% of the vote. Strom Thurmond in 1948, 2.5% of the vote. George Wallace, 13% of the vote. John Anderson, 7% of the vote. I remember that election. I was actually very excited about John Anderson. Ross Perot in 1992 got 19% of the vote. Arguably, in every one of these cases, they had some influence on the election. And it wasn't always the influence that they intended to have. The thing that I think is interesting, there's an interesting op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal about, it's titled President Bloomberg. And they point out that Bloomberg is trying to position himself as a post-partisan centrist. And he's got Hagel and he's got a few other people going along with it. Hagel, who used to be the CEO of the company that became ESNS, the voting machine company. And one of the points that the Wall Street Journal makes, and it's actually a good one, is most third-party candidates, they say, have run on some issue or cause that the main parties have ignored. They talk about Lincoln and the Republicans, how that was, you know, against slavery. The Whigs, he supplanted the Whigs in 1860. Teddy Roosevelt, progressive Republicanism in 1912, trying to take the Republican Party back to its original progressive roots, its original Lincolnian, however you would say that, roots. Strom Thurmond in 48, representing the Southern segregationists. Ross Perot, the budget deficit in 92. So in each one of these cases, you had a candidate who was out there because they were really passionate about an issue. What's the issue that Michael Bloomberg is really passionate about? Well, he's saying, you know, we need to get politics out of the control of the parties. I mean, I'm not quoting him of that. That's what's being said about this kind of an independent candidacy. And essentially the Wall Street Journal is saying, well, you know, maybe this is just a vanity run. And in fact, you know, that's essentially the point that they make. I'm wondering if this might be more of a corporatist run. Let's say, particularly now that there are strong populist strains showing up in both the political parties. As I said, there's an element of populism to Huckabee. There is a large element of populism to Ron Paul on the Republican side, the Democratic side.
Barack Obama, John Edwards, Dennis Kucinich. To some extent, I would say Joe Biden, Chris Dodd, and Bill Richardson. And certainly Mike Gravel, although he's kind of gone off the deep end, a very populist campaign, saying we're going to put the issues of and needs of people in America ahead of the issues and needs of corporations. Getting back to the issue that we keep making on this program, you know, what's more important? What is the economy here for us? That is, was the economy created? Are the agents of the economy, whether it's inherited wealth or whether it's corporate power or whatever, are the agents of the economy what we're here to serve? Or is the economy, do we the people create laws that allow an economy to exist, that create a stable currency, that create a judicial system to enforce contracts and allow basically commerce? Because we do allow it. And we circumscribe it. We limit it. We say, you know, this is how you can do it. You can't sell poison to people and call it, you know, wonder drugs or whatever. I mean, there are limits on commerce. There's a lot of very reasonable limits on commerce. And we do that because commerce, at the end of the day, we believe is essentially a good for us. It's a societal good within limits. So the question in my mind is, if this third party presidential candidacy emerges, could it be part of a larger corporatist move? I'm seeing a huge corporatist move. I'm seeing it in the way that the populist messages of many of the candidates are being absolutely ignored in the corporate media in the United States. Could it be part of a corporatist message coming up? So anyhow, we'll take your calls, 1-866-303-2270, your thoughts on the Iowa primary, or the Iowa caucus, rather, what's going on in Iowa today. Who you think might be winning, how it might be going. I'll share with you the news as we go along. TomHartmann.com if you want to drop into our live chat room, 27 minutes past the hour.
You're tuned in to the Tom Hartmann Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Standing up for freedom, Tom Hartmann, nationwide on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartmann nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I want a president that is an intellectual, who is curious about the world and reads the paper every day. Who cares more about human rights than corporations? And will defend your rights, be you a woman, black or brown or gay. I want a president to help reduce nuclear weapons.
Sounds like a plan.
I want a president who doesn't want to start a war.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I want a president to respect the Geneva Convention. I want a president who won't condone torture anymore. I want a president who believes in evolution.
Yeah, and the list goes on and on. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartmann here with you. By the way, just a quick heads up. Next Monday and Tuesday, we will be doing this show live from New Hampshire, where the second... It's not the second primary, because what's going on in Iowa are the caucuses, which are actually run and owned by the political parties, whereas the New Hampshire primary is run and owned by the state. So I guess it's the first primary. But the second opportunity for people to make their voice heard about who they would like to see as a candidate. And so anyhow, we will be doing a radio row along with Talk Radio News Service on Monday and Tuesday from New Hampshire. We'll be doing this show live from New Hampshire. A lot of strange things going on out there in the world right now.
Maybe.
Houston Chronicle.
Maybe we're crazy.
Houston Chronicle reporting, if you're younger than 35, you'll probably live long enough to put David Levy's prediction to the test. Levy says that by 2050, we'll be creating robots so lifelike, so imbued with human-seeming intelligence and emotions, as to be nearly indistinguishable from real people, and we will have sex with them. Some of us will even marry them, and it will all be good. Well, isn't that a nice prediction for the new year? Here's another one. This is from the Miami Herald. A television reporter turned political candidate said he plans to remain on a small scaffold near the top of a tower to focus attention on his long-shot bid to unseat U.S. Senator Saxby Chambliss. Saxby Chambliss, you recall, is the senator from Georgia who beat Max Cleland, the guy who left three limbs in Vietnam, an arm and both legs in Vietnam. Saxby Chambliss, the draft dodger who beat him by running television ads that morphed Max Cleland's face into that of Osama bin Laden and called him unpatriotic, said he wasn't sufficiently patriotic. Anyhow, Dale Cardwell is going to try and take him on. Good luck, Dale. He's 300 feet up the Corey Tower in downtown Atlanta. He's going to stay there for a couple of days. He thinks that this is going to get him the nomination. Crazy. And finally, our third crazy alert, a 265-pound man says a restaurant overcharged him for his trips to the buffet, then banned him and a relative because of how much they consumed during their visits. This is Ricky Labatt. He's an offshore worker, 6'3", a regular at the Manchuria restaurant, eats there three times a week. But he says they just about doubled the price for the all-you-can-eat buffet because he is so big. She says, "Y'all fat, y'all eat too much," Labatt says. Yeah, it's crazy. I thought all you could eat meant all you can eat. Anyhow, 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number. Your thoughts, Jake in New Jersey. Hey, Jake, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, Jake, you're on the air.
I'd like to speak about Bloomberg's record in as far as the First and Fourth Amendment are concerned.
Yes, sir.
The Fourth Amendment, it's a bad record. The Fourth Amendment, I think, is the worst as far as his attempts to use it a concern. The subway searching program in New York City, which is still going on, requires people to submit to searches at subway stations before they enter the train platform. And when there was an ACLU case in New York about this, that ruling was upheld.
Yeah. Now,
it was in New York.
I understand what you're saying, Jake, and the Fourth Amendment is the amendment that guarantees us the right of privacy, essentially.
And
here's a question for you, though. How is that different from being searched before you get on an airplane?
I think the difference is that the concourses of the subway system are an extension of the streets, that they are public property. People have to use them every day to go to work, go wherever they want to go in New York City, especially in New York City. And I think this is the first example of a use of these kinds of surveillance tactics or police tactics, and there are also surveillance cameras, which makes more sense in subways as far as detecting terrorists through psychological, markings or Okay, but I think it is unprecedented.
So you think because airlines are private corporations subways are owned by the state that this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment? That's an interesting take on it, Jake. It's a very interesting take. Let me chew on that one for a bit. The airlines are using public airspace. They're controlled by public air traffic controllers. But you're right, they are private corporations. So therefore, perhaps, and historically I think it has been, that the airlines should be paying for the security. And this all goes back, frankly, let me just toss another weird monkey wrench into this conversation. Back in the 70s when the first hijackings to Cuba started, remember when people were hijacking airplanes to get to Cuba? The U.S. Congress proposed doing what El Al, the Israeli airline, had been doing basically from the get-go, which is hardening cockpit doors, making it so that you can't break down a cockpit door. And the U.S. private corporation airlines lobbied Congress and said, we don't want to pay for that. It's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. We don't want to pay for it. And it got defeated. And had those cockpit doors been hardened, 9/11 never would have happened, or arguably. And so, anyhow, it's an interesting take. Vic in Cedar Creek, Texas. Hey, Vic, welcome to the program.
Hello, Tom, and maybe happy Liberation New Year in 2008.
Let's hope so, Vic.
You know, you and I have been fighting corporate welfare for more years than I want to mention. I'm wondering, what percentage do you think that America has really become fascist? And you know, that's a bad word, and it invokes images of Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. But I think fascism, from what definitions I can see, is the blending of government and the corporate sector, and then a little dose of nationalism. And I think we got our dose of nationalism on 9/11, and that's all it needed for the corporations and government to really cement their relationship. And you know, the old expression, follow the money on all this stuff. This should be the pinnacle, maybe, of these candidates running, and I'm trying to do something locally and used to try nationally. But when we're talking about corporate welfare, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, they worry about their property taxes and their income tax. But there's another tax. There's a hidden tax.
No, there's a whole series of huge and hidden taxes, Vix, and they have to do with, you're absolutely right, the corporate welfare and all these subsidies that are going to corporations, the fact that corporations can play one community off against another, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And should we use the word fascism? I don't know. You know, I've used it a fair amount on this program over the years. Fascism technically is the merging of corporate and state interests. Mussolini did away with the parliament, replaced it with the Cameo di Fascio Corporaciones, the largest corporations in each state sent their representatives to parliament rather than elected representatives. I think corporatism is probably a better word for us now, because you say fascism and people think Hitler, and Hitler was way beyond fascist. Hitler was nuts. Hitler was a mass murderer, a genocidal maniac who was leading a cult. The Nazism was a cult, and it made the word almost unusable. But your point is well taken. Ralph in Colorado Springs. Hey, Ralph.
Hi, Tom. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
I had kind of an odd twist here, but I'm very happy that McCasey is limiting the inquiry with regard to the tapes, 2 out of 100, I think you said, because I want every investigation in 2008 to be as small as possible. My assumption is that Bush is going to give a whole bunch of pardons just before he leaves office to cover everybody's rear end.
Sure.
The problem is, if there's no investigation, there's no crimes. If there's no crimes, there's nothing to be pardoned for.
Well, actually, you know, Reagan pardoned people, and Jerry Ford, for that matter, pardoned Nixon, and Nixon had not been convicted of a crime.
No, at that point,
he was not even seriously accused of a crime. You can give somebody a pardon and just say, okay, you cannot be prosecuted for this.
Well, but it's for this. What are you going to have the pardon say? I mean, and I will also say, with regard to Nixon, you already had an investigation. You had enough for basically articles of impeachment.
Yeah.
So you had a
process. They were drafted, in fact.
Right. So you had a process that was underway. My only point is this. What I want is a candidate, anyone, who will vow that if elected, they will have their attorney general do a full, complete investigation of all war crimes after Bush is out of office.
Yeah. No, Ralph, I think it's an excellent suggestion, and I would love to see that be one of the party platforms. This is where getting active at the local level, joining your local Democratic Party, or for that matter, Republican Party or Green Party or whatever it may be, getting active at the local level and having a say in what the party platforms ultimately are is a strong and powerful thing. But interesting idea of circumscribing or narrowly circumscribing the investigations. I'm not sure that that's going to be the magic bullet that you think it is, frankly. But, you know, maybe. It would be a good question for us to put to Marjorie Cohn one of these times in this program. I'm pretty convinced, though, that there's not going to be much follow-up investigation of Bush and the crimes that he's committed. They're just the history of this country. We just don't have a taste for it. We'd rather move forward than look back. Unfortunately, in this case, 45 minutes past the hour.
Tom Hartman. Seeking the truth that multinational corporations don't want you to know. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years.
And as you know, gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire some of mine through ITM Trading. You should call ITM 2, 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies to send the dollar higher for a short time, but trust me, the dollar's future is already baked into the cake. The U.S. has gone from a creditor nation in the 70s to the largest debtor nation the world has ever known. That's why some nations want euros rather than dollars today, and that's big money, smart money talking. So I hope you're listening when I tell you you should call my friends at ITM Trading and get some gold today. Your long-term financial future may depend on it. Talk to the experts at ITM Trading. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. It's really very simple. Call and talk to their experts. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Ed Schultz.
I think if you got a high turnout in Iowa, it's going to be a high turnout in New Hampshire.
Noon to 3.
I think there's more people paying attention in Iowa than we've ever seen before. And I think you've got three polls, three different leaders. You've got things changing New Hampshire.
Debunking right-wing propaganda.
And I think Iowa's going to set the tempo for the rest of the election cycle.
The Ed Schultz Show.
And the rest of the primaries that are on the way.
Noon to 3, AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's progressive talk station.
We don't get many second chances. This one could save your life. A TIA, or transient ischemic stroke, is a mini stroke. Symptoms usually go away within 24 hours and you feel fine again. But if you don't get to a stroke center or hospital fast, you risk a full-fledged stroke that can change your life forever. Don't take that chance. Contact National Stroke Association at 1-800-STROKES or visit stroke.org and find out more about recognizing stroke symptoms fast. Do it now, while there's still time.
The January clearance is going on now at Standard TV and Appliance. It's a total inventory blowout. Display models, demos, one-of-a-kind, scratch and dent, and closeouts. Many items at, near, or even below actual dealer costs.
Refrigerators from $378, washers starting at $267, and dishwashers from $187. Buy a Sony 46-inch LCD 1080p projection HDTV for only $899.
These prices are good for stock on hand, so shop early.
Sensational savings going on this week. The January clearance sale at Standard TV and Appliance.
We guarantee the lowest prices on Sony, Toshiba, LG, Mitsubishi, Whirlpool, GE, KitchenAid, Maytag, Frigidaire, Simmons, and more.
Standard in Portland on Southeast 82nd and Foster, in Tigard on Highway 99, in Bend on Highway 97, and in Beaverton, one block east of Cedar Hills Boulevard on Hall.
Sensational savings are waiting for you at Standard TV and Appliance.
Hey, yeah, let's just go.
Oh, come on. We got plenty of time. Come on.
I try to talk him out of it, you talk him into it. It's the same thing.
Why are you so negative?
Gambling can put you at odds with yourself.
Whoa, you can't afford that. Don't quit now. We're just about to win. It's okay. We'll win it back.
Well, I see where this when you play, set a time limit and stick to a budget. Don't let the game play you. Call 877-MY-LIMIT or log on to OregonLotteryHelp.org.
The 1 cent sale is on at Aaron Brothers.
Buy any frame, get any frame for 1 cent. The 1 cent sale.
Choose from the world's largest selection of wall and photo frames at Aaron Brothers. Buy any frame and get any other of equal or lesser value for just a penny. Get the same savings on any artist canvas. A sale this big can't last that long.
Buy any frame, get any frame for 1 cent. The 1 cent sale.
Find a store near you at AaronBrothers.com. Sale excludes custom framing and digital photo frames.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Actually, I would say it's not enough to vote anymore. We have reached the point in this country where it's just showing up at the polls every year or every couple of years isn't enough. We've got to start getting active on the ground. I mean, it doesn't mean running for elective office. It just means showing up, you know, every month, every couple months even, at the local party meetings, participating.
What a novel idea. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, toll-free all across the United States. Dan in Missouri. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing? I'd just like to say Bloomberg, which just never gets much press, but Bloomberg's pretty much a liberal. He has a lot of liberal positions.
Socially.
Socially,
but he's also, you know, in terms of things like he's in favor of a woman's right to choose an abortion, for example.
And he's very anti-gun.
Yeah, and he's in favor of gun control. But when it comes to things like globalization, when it comes to corporations ruling the world rather than sovereign nations, when it comes to corporate power versus individual power, I haven't been able to find anything that indicates that he has a position on those that would be anything other than pro-corporate.
Well, I'll say I don't think Hillary Clinton's much different. And number two, I'll say that it's just kind of weird that people can research his record on the Internet and things he said. This guy is not a conservative. He's going to draw votes from Democrats. He's not going to draw votes from Republicans.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to be a problem. Thanks a lot, Dan. Tyler in Gladstone, Oregon. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. But I'll be better.
I wanted to keep everything you do great.
Thank you.
So listen to you every morning. Hey, I wanted to call in in regards to John Edwards, and I think he's going to do real well in the Iowa caucuses. And the other thing is, I really think we got to look at electability here, and I don't think it's time in 08 to experiment with black man or a woman in the White House. I just don't think it is.
I don't think that that's the issue, Tyler. And I understand that perspective. I understand that people are saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, and I've said it on this program that if we discount misogyny, if we discount sexism, if we discount racism and try to pretend that they're not there and try not to have those conversations on the Democratic side, for example, we do ourselves a disservice because I guarantee you the Republicans will have that conversation and they will bring it down around our heads. And if Barack Obama is the candidate, you're going to see Harold Ford, the ads that took out Harold Ford, those kind of ads playing on racism. And if Hillary Clinton is the nominee, you're going to hear ads like Rush Limbaugh's old Hillary Clinton testicle lockbox ads, you know, playing on racism and sexism. That said, I think that America is at the point where a woman or an African-American could be elected president. I'm just not sure it's this woman and this African-American. May well be. You know, time will tell. And as I've said many times on this program, whoever the Democratic Party's nominee is, I'm going to support that person. But I'm very concerned about the mentality that we need to go with the white guy in this case. I mean, for that reason, I think that that is the very worst reason to be doing something like that. Gene in Los Angeles. Hey, Gene.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad you just brought up Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, because I listened this morning to Democracy Now, and they were talking about the advisors that these two people have talked about putting on in their cabinets. You know, a lot of these people are, in the past, have been complicit in U.S. war crimes against other people, and yet Obama and Hillary Clinton are planning on putting these people in their cabinets. Or in their as their advisors. And that gets me to my main point, which is, Tom, I am not going to participate. In other words, I'm not going to vote in this election until, and any others, until this campaign spending is reduced. All right? As of around New Year's Day, these campaigns are spending too much. Let me be more specific. Romney's campaign, Obama's campaign, and Hillary's campaign, Hillary Clinton, I don't want to disrespect her, they've all become unethically high-spending campaigns. They're spending more than it takes to campaign for the office.
Yeah, well,
participating in that.
Okay, here's, first of all, two pieces here, the numbers. Barack Obama has spent, this is just in Iowa, has spent $9 million on close to 11,000 spots. This is from CNN.com, by the way. Hillary Clinton has spent $7.2 million, and John Edwards has spent $3.2 million. On the Republican side, Mitt Romney has spent about $7 million. Most of that is own money, by the way. And Mike Huckabee has spent $1.4 million, and Fred Thompson has spent $1.1 million. So, yeah, there's a lot of money being spent. I mean, that works out to about $500,000 per delegate. And on a per vote, you know, basis, if you want to take it out to a per vote basis, it's around $17. The New York City mayoral race, the last one, worked out. I think that Bloomberg spent like $75 per voter, as I recall, and his opponent spent $17 or $18. Something.
Tom,
like
what this is doing
but
here, is.
But so I'm agreeing with you, Gene, that we've got a problem with the money. But I would submit to you that if you decide that as a consequence of this you're not going to vote, that you have surrendered your right to have a political opinion.
More specifically, my reason is that this is shutting out progressive candidates. You cannot get, when the campaign spending goes up so high that you need so much funding to run a campaign, progressives aren't going to get that much funding from the corporations.
Gene, instead of complaining and saying that you're going to stand on the sidelines, why don't you show up at your local Democratic Party and say, I'm here, I'll volunteer, I'm going to take part in this and speak out every month, every meeting. I'm telling you, when members of Congress come back, the first constituency that they have to answer to is their local party.
Okay, I'll take that suggestion and I'll try it.
Okay, great. I appreciate that, Gene. And let me know what happens. You know, call back the program and let us know what happens. Because we've had a number of people over the years who have done this and actually have ended up very involved with the party and have ended up changing the party, even, in many cases. So, you know, Gene, I congratulate you on your political enthusiasm. I think it's a marvelous thing. And your passion. It's just that we can't allow that passion to turn into despair or non-participation. That's what they want. That's exactly what they want, and we cannot do it. We have to stay involved. 57 minutes past the hour.
Exposing the con in conservative con. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, 620KPOJ.com.
You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So today is the day in Iowa. Welcome back to the second hour of our program. Today's the day in Iowa. Monday and Tuesday, actually, will be the day in New Hampshire. Monday and Tuesday, we'll be doing our show live from New Hampshire. Today, the caucus is going on. And we have some of the closing statements, or the closing ads, shall we say, from some of the candidates. Actually, I think most of the Democratic candidates here. About what's, you know, their take on why you should be voting for them. Here's Chris Dodd's ad that he's wrapping up with in Iowa.
Some people say I have too much experience to run for president. But the more you hear my opponents, the more you wonder whether they have enough. I've spent my life bringing Democrats and Republicans together to create real change. I know I can win the general election, and I am ready to be president. I'm Chris Dodd. I'd appreciate your support on caucus night. I approve this message because it's time America had a president with the experience to lead.
Nice head. Nice ad. Chris Dodd is a good guy and relatively quite progressive, actually. One of the best voting records around. And notice how he used the word change in there. You're going to hear that word a lot, and an awful lot, frankly. Barack Obama's closing ad in Iowa.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
It's with your power, it's with your voice, that we're going to be able to make a difference. One voice can change a room. And if it can change a room, it can change a city. And if it can change a city, it can change a state. And if it can change a state, it can change a nation. If it can change a nation, it can change the world. Let's go save the world.
There you go. Let's go save the world, Barack Obama. That's a marvelous one. There's a bunch of them out there. I want to get also to Rich Lowry. We'll come back to a few more. I'll be playing them throughout the hour here. And we'll be taking your calls as well at 866-303-2270 throughout this hour. But this whole thing, this idea that if you are a populist if you are a progressive, that you are angry. I find this so weird. I find this so very, very weird. Rich Lowry wrote an op-ed over at townhall.com, which got picked up by my local newspaper a couple of days ago, called John Edwards the Hater. And it starts out, you know, Dateline Knoxville, Iowa. John Edwards is angry and he wants people to know it. Edwards is the real thing. His message is resentful, confrontational, and paranoid, verging on the openly hateful. In the case of Edwards, almost all that is left is unbridled hostility. His campaign pitch is a well-polished, mailed fist. That would be like as in armor. Aimed at the gut of the establishment. Defined by Edwards as heartless, money-grubbing corporations. The reason we don't have universal health care coverage, according to Edwards, is very simple. The drug companies and insurance companies oppose it. Lowry goes on to say this is a worldview that doesn't allow for legitimate differences of opinion. He says the people will have to wield the sovereign power of the country against corporations that will only give their power away when we take their power from them. And then he says the Iowans apparently, you know, are haters as well. The traction that Edwards has been getting is a sign that Iowans are weary of the lover Obama and have been drawn to the hater Edwards. Yeah. And then he goes on television and filling in for Sean Hannity and calls Edwards a second-tier candidate.
And later, with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama publicly feuding, second-tier candidate John Edwards makes a push to stick to the issues.
And he's reading that off a teleprompter, right? So, you know, this is pretty straightforward. So, you know, at what point is it hating to call out what's going on? And I say this not just on, you know, in defense of John Edwards, because I think many of the Democratic candidates are calling out corporate America. And I think it's really important that we remember the last time a serious presidential candidate was talking like this. This is Franklin Roosevelt, 1936, running for his second term as president, was using the exact same kind of rhetoric. And again, the corporations were calling him a hater. They were calling him a socialist. They were calling him a communist. They were saying he was crazy. They were calling him a pseudo-dictator. But Franklin Roosevelt did not back down.
That very word, freedom, in itself and of necessity suggests freedom from some restraining power.
Yeah, so, okay, let's define freedom. George Bush uses the word freedom a lot. What is the power that we are, that freedom means we are not controlled by? And Franklin Roosevelt talks about the historical and then the present day context of it.
In 1776, we sought freedom from the tyranny of a political autocracy, from the 18th century royalists, who held special privileges from the crown.
Okay, so, yeah, we fought, we wanted freedom from King George III, but now?
But since that struggle, man's inventive genius released new forces in our land, forces which reordered the lives of our people. The age of machinery, of railroads, of steam and electricity, the telegraph and the radio, mass production, mass distribution, all of these combined to bring forward a new civilization, and with it a problem for those who sought to remain free.
A problem for those who sought to remain free. I mean, this is, again, this was described as hate speech by the Republicans and the corporatists in 1936 when Franklin Roosevelt said this.
For out of this modern civilization, economic royalists carved new dynasties. New kingdoms were built upon concentration of control over material things. Through new uses of corporations and banks and securities, new machinery of industry and agriculture, of labor and capital, all undreamed of by the fathers, the whole structure of modern life was impressed into this royal service.
See, this is the point. Are you free if you're one paycheck away from homeless? Are you free if you're one paycheck away from being wiped out by an illness? Are you free if you don't have control over the political machinery of your nation?
Private enterprise, indeed, became too private. It became privileged enterprise, not free enterprise.
Okay, so that was Franklin Roosevelt in 1936. And then he went on to say,
You know, we have to challenge this kind of power. And this is the same kind of language that I'm hearing from the more populist candidates who are like Rich Lowry speaking for the conservatives, calling them haters.
These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America.
And they did say that.
What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. Our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power.
You get that? The overthrow of this kind of power. I mean, can you imagine what Rich Lowry would have done with Franklin Roosevelt? Holy cow, the guy's an anarchist. He's a communist. He's a revolutionary. Roosevelt even went on.
In vain, they seek to hide behind the flag and the Constitution.
Boy, how little has changed, huh? How little has changed.
But in their blindness, they forget what the flag and the Constitution stand for.
Now, I mean, this is the talk that Franklin Roosevelt was able to go off on and was actually carried by the media back in 1936. And yet when these messages get spoken by the populace by the people who are running for president now, even when people like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or you know, as the mainstream on the Democratic side, or some of the Republican candidates, even when they begin to speak out against corporate power, it doesn't make it through the filter. It just doesn't make it through the filter. And somebody whose primary message, whose almost continual message, is the danger of corporate power, it doesn't make it, like John Edwards, for example, or Dennis Kucinich, doesn't make it through the corporate filter at all. You know, doing very well in Iowa, where everybody can hear it, there's very little corporate filter there. But nationally, no, nobody's hearing it. They're not seeing it on the news. It's not making it through that corporate filter. We need another FDR. Are we going to get one? 866-303-2270. 16 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. Get active.
You're tuned to Tom Hartman Nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
My name is Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock. What I'm about to tell you is true. My social security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, we give you a $1 million guarantee that your identity will not be stolen.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-607-9187 now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-607-9187. That's 1-800-607-9187. Again, 1-800-607-9187.
Proud to be everything the right wing hates.
And our bunch is better than their bunch, that's for sure.
Randy Rhodes, 3-7.
Rudy Giuliani, been using 9/11 for everything. He says this is what inspired him to run for president.
Fighting truth decay.
I'll tell you what inspired him to run for president. When the Mayor for Life thing didn't work out, he opted for the run for president thing.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
That's how he was inspired by 9/11.
3-6, AM 620, KPOJ, and 620KPOJ.com.
Are you afraid of the IRS? Worried because you owe back taxes? Because you've neglected to file your taxes for a year or more? Or because you haven't made employee payroll deposits? If you're afraid of the IRS, relax, because you don't have to go it alone. With one easy phone call to Effectuare, you can find out what your tax settlement options are. You'll never have to talk to the IRS directly. See how quickly it can all be taken care of. Just call 1-800-900-1206. Affectsure is staffed by professionals, many of whom have actually worked for the IRS. We understand how the IRS works. Depending on your circumstances, it may be possible to drastically reduce your tax debt. For your free confidential consultation, call 1-800-900-1206. Whether you're behind in filing your taxes, paying your taxes, if you've forgotten to pay employee payroll taxes, it can be scary. You don't have to go it alone. Call Affectsure right now. For your free confidential consultation, call 1-800-900-1206. That's 1-800-900-1206.
What's your New Year's resolution? To lose weight? Eat healthier? Get organized? Let Sam's Club help you get started on a great 2008. Visit your local Sam's Club from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. January 5th and 12th to sample healthy foods and products during our Resolution to Results event. Be sure to pick up our Resolution to Results magazine, which includes healthy recipes and advice on achieving your New Year's resolution. Your health matters at Sam's Club.
Recently, there's been some confusion between Emergency and the similar-sounding Wallaby. We would like to clear this up. Emergency is a uniquely formulated drink mix that boosts your health and energy. A wallaby is a macropod, too small to be called a kangaroo. Emergency revs up your immune system with vitamins and minerals and tastes good. Wallabies taste gamey. Emergency comes in fizzy fruit flavors like raspberry and orange. Wallabies come in one flavor, wallaby. We hope this clears things up. Wallaby, Emergency. Feel the good.
Now at Staples, you'll find the largest selection of original Dell ink and toner, plus a wide selection of Dell laptops, desktops, printers, all-in-ones, and monitors. See it, touch it, take it with you. Staples, that was easy.
Keep your skills sharp and your training relevant in a world of faster, bigger, and better data management. PCC is offering affordable classes for current IT professionals. New classes start every week, so register now at computers.pcc.edu.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Surrey, democracy means getting involved. By the way, if you want to get involved, here's another way. Call into our comment line. Whether you agree, disagree, or just want to sound off, want to give me a piece of your mind, call the comment line at 202. This is a brand new number. You can find it if you go over to TomHartman.com, by the way, and click on contact, you'll find it. Brand new number, our comment line. This isn't to be on the show. This is to leave a recorded message. Call the comment line at 202. 536-5306, 202-536-5306, to sound off on the issues of the day. Keep it under 30 seconds, and your comment just might make it on the air. 202-536-5306. So we're talking about some of these ads and some of the positions that the candidates are taking and how the right wing is already pushing back on it. Rich Lowry calling, for example, John Edwards a hater. Here's Hillary Clinton. She actually ran a two-minute spot. We'll run about half of it here. Her closing ad in Iowa, trying to give all of these candidates basically the length of their ad, if it's a 30 or a 1 minute. Here's the first minute of Hillary Clinton's ad in Iowa.
Good evening. As we start this new year, America is at a crossroads. We're a nation at war in a dangerous world. We have a faltering economy, an energy crisis, and 47 million people without health care. But after 7 long years of this administration, we finally have the opportunity for a new beginning. Tomorrow, you can take the first step. After all the town meetings, the pie and coffee, it comes down to this. Who's ready to be president and ready to start solving the big challenges we face on day one? And we can solve them. We can end the era of cowboy diplomacy and bring our sons and daughters home from Iraq. We can make a new beginning for our economy and rebuild our great middle class. We can reform our government and transform our energy future. We can make a new beginning on health care, cut costs, improve quality, and cover every American.
This was a very warm and fuzzy, very friendly kind of, you know, I'm just talking to you. Here we are, you know, let's have a cup of coffee together. And
And I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if that's going to work, because what she's talking about is change. I mean, change is the magic word, right? It's the focus group tested word for this election. And she thought experience was for a while, but now it's change. And she's talking about changing some of our fundamental public institutions. And I'm concerned that Americans are going to say, you know, it sounds nice, but we want a fighter. We want somebody that Rich Lowry is going to call a hater. Here's John Edwards' closing ad, and it doesn't even have John Edwards in it.
Now, I myself was a former Maytag employee. I was laid off September of 2004, and I was asked, would you and your family like to come up and meet Senator Edwards? And this is something I'll never forget. He grabbed my 7-year-old son by the hand. He dropped to one knee, and he looked him straight in the eye. And he said, I'm going to keep fighting for your daddy's job. I promise you that. You know, that stuff sticks with you. That's the kind of things we need in a leader in this country. Not somebody that's going to go to a big fundraiser and say, write me a check for $2,300 and I'll let you know you have my support. I want a guy that's going to sit down and look a 7-year-old kid in the eye. Tell him I'm going to fight for your dad's job. That's what I want. I'm going to do my best to make sure that my children aren't the first generation of Americans that I can't look them in the eye and say, you're going to have a better life than I had. And I think the person that's going to get that done is my friend and yours, Senator John Edwards.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
So, you know, a friendly one, but one that talks about fighting. But again, that was not as strong, frankly, as emphatic as the Obama ad. Here's Bill Richardson's ad.
Are we ready to take our country back?
Yeah!
Are we going to elect a Democratic president?
Yeah!
What's that president's name?
We need you to shock the world. We need you to go to every Iowa voter and talk to them about opportunity, about hope, about recognizing that to change this country, you need experience, that to make America better, we need to come together. So today, I am honored to be in this huge crowd. I am honored to ask for your support. I'm going to outwork everybody. I already have. And now it's up to you. Will you do it? Will you get out and get our vote out? Do we want to take our country back? Iowa, will you help? Will you help us take America back? Do we send George Bush back to Texas? Do we win in November?
Yeah, there's Bill Richardson's wrap-up ad for Iowa. And on the other side of this break coming up here in just a few seconds, we will share with you Joe Biden's ad. But Bill Richardson doing the stump speech thing. Yeah, it's a stump speech. Yeah, we're gonna get out there. We're gonna take America back. It's a great sentiment. I personally, and we interviewed Bill Richardson on this program. He's got an incredible resume. He is, I think, the perfect vice presidential candidate. I think he'd make a great president. Let me just say that right up front. And I think he's the perfect vice presidential candidate for a whole bunch of strategic reasons. 27 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with Joe Biden and you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
You're listening to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Uh-huh. It was about 5 to 5 on Friday, and we were all getting ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And the boss man started screaming, and his band began to show. To get away. Some days you gotta dance and live it up when you get the chance. Cause when the world doesn't make no sense and you're feeling just a little too tense, gotta loosen up those chains and dance.
And welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Okay, Dennis Kucinich and Joe Biden, the two are, that are left. As far as we can tell, Dennis Kucinich is not running a closing ad on television in Iowa. But here is the message that's on his website, his New Year's message from a few days ago. A message from Dennis Kucinich, January 1st.
Hi, everyone. Dennis here. Happy New Year from Manchester, New Hampshire. It's great to have this opportunity to speak with you at the beginning of a new year, a year that is filled with so much promise and so much hope for our country. A few weeks ago, when I was in Manchester, I kept meeting people who told me they were undecided about the race, and indeed, polls backed that up. So I decided that we would make a strong effort here in New Hampshire to get our message out about a not-for-profit healthcare system, a single-payer system, and I'm the co-author of the bill, as you know. As people hear about this, they say, well, that's a good idea. I want to hear more. But when I noted that people still are looking for a candidate who will take this country out of Iraq, and they learn about my history on it, they say, you know, I like what I'm hearing. I want to hear more. I know that we have a chance to break through here, and with your help, we're going to do it. So in the next week, as you start to think about the impact that you've already had on this campaign, just know that you have a chance to make another impact, that whatever you can do to be of assistance to us in the closing days of this campaign in New Hampshire, know that we are putting all of your help to good use.
There you go. That's Dennis Kucinich's, or a little over a minute of Dennis Kucinich's piece from New Hampshire. And this Joe Biden's closing ad from Iowa.
You know, there are two questions I think all caucus goers will be asking themselves Thursday night. The first one is, who do you want behind the desk in the Oval Office next January to deal with the crises that you know exist, you know the next president will face? And second, who do you believe can beat the Republicans in this coming November election? Because before a Democrat can lead, he or she has to get elected. I'd like to think the answer to both those questions is me. We don't have to imagine what the potential crises are for the next president. Ending the war in Iraq, preventing a meltdown in Pakistan, keeping nuclear weapons out of the hands of terrorists. When you caucus Thursday night, you should close your eyes and imagine that the person you're supporting is president at this very moment. Do you believe that person? Do you have confidence that that person can handle any of these crises that you know exist? I've dealt with the toughest and most dangerous threats facing our country for the past 35 years. And more than any other candidate in the race, I've laid out and convinced an overwhelming majority of my colleagues about exactly what we should do to bring our troops home from Iraq.
There you go, Joe Biden. So, your thoughts, 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Donna in Detroit, Michigan, WDTW. Hey, Donna, what's up?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
I'm glad to hear that. Your show is such a blessing. We are just grateful Americans to have your depth and scope and breadth of knowledge about history and politics and how you share with us.
Thank you, Donna. But that's not what you called about, right?
No, but...
Okay.
But kudos to you for that because we don't take it for granted, I don't think. No, my comment was just a shout-out to everybody out there at a grassroots level to carry the message that candidates and voters alike and you liberal talk show hosts, that we got to carry the message that even though we will likely see a Democrat in office come November, from my lips to God's ears, I'm convinced it'll happen, but we still have to focus on the Congress. We've got to flip the House. That's got to happen, or these pipe dreams that the folks that are running aren't going to materialize. We won't have national health care. We won't.
Yeah, we have to get more than 60 votes in the United States.
Absolutely. We can't lose sight of that, albeit it's early in the year, but let's not lose focus of, you know, we can't just get, you know, just one branch of the government changed. We have to focus on the Congress as well. It's imperative.
Well said. Donna, thank you very much for the call and for your kind comments. Very well said. Bob in Brainerd, Minnesota. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I got a quick question about what if the, like, Giuliani and Clinton, two of my worst scenarios, get into the primary there. What do you think might happen if, like, a Gore, Bloomberg, Nader, Ron Paul, Gingrich, and Buchanan all jump into the race? What do you think the political landscape might look like?
I think it'd be a hoot. the reality is that Al Gore is not going to run in this race. He's not going to get into it. I can guarantee you that. And I predict that Bloomberg and Nader both will be in the race. And so I think that we're going to have a four-way race here. Bloomberg is going to put a lot of money into it. He's, you know, he's said the guy's worth billions of dollars, and he's said a rich man who dies rich is a stupid man. I mean, you know, he's not planning on leaving, you know, most of that to his offspring. I don't know how, you know, what he has, what his family has on down the road, but he's made it very clear that he intends to use that money. And he certainly was very liberal with his own money when he was running for mayor of New York. So it's really going to be an interesting race. It's going to be an interesting time. With regard to all the other folks, I don't think that they're going to be in the race. And this, you know, what it's going to do is it's going to bring to fore the law of unintended consequences. Well, it's really going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Mary in Salem, Oregon. Hey, Mary.
Yes. I can't understand why people have not figured out that John Edwards really is not qualified to be president. He served just a few years of his one term in the U.S. Senate. He decided he didn't like being a U.S. senator, so he decided to run for the presidency. He didn't make it, so he got tapped to be the vice presidential candidate on the John Kerry ticket. That didn't pan out, and he's basically just, as far as I know, done nothing but run for president ever since. And you know, he's a very, very good speaker. He was an excellent trial attorney, very successful trial attorney. He's a millionaire, as far as I know.
Are you familiar with his One America program, Mary?
Pardon me?
Are you familiar with his One America program, his anti-poverty program that he's been running?
Yeah, but I am. But, you know, I believe that of all the candidates on the Republican and the Democrat side, I think he's the least qualified in terms of holding public office or having any actual background in public life. And you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Billy Flynn. And I know this is going to be very unpopular with your audience because I realize there's lots and lots of Edwards fans in your audience.
Well, you know, and when you say that a Republican and the Democrat Party, it causes me to wonder if maybe you're calling from a Republican phone bank
or
something.
No, actually, I'm a registered Democrat. I've always been a registered Democrat. My first vote was for George McGovern in 1972, and I've come from Oregon. I'm trying to decide who I'm going to vote for in the Republican primary in May. Mm-hmm. I think that Bill Richardson is probably the most qualified candidate on the Democratic side. I don't know if I'm going to vote for him, but I would really commend to you an article that David Broder wrote.
David Broder's a right-wing hack.
David Broder?
Yeah.
Read his article, it was printed in the Salem Statesman Journal on, I think, the 30th.
You know, he's a columnist for the New York Times.
No, he's for the Washington Post.
Washington Post, thank you.
Washington Post. He wrote an article about why Bill Bradley took himself out of the running for vice president on the Dukakis ticket in 1988. And he said that Bill Bradley talked about the qualifications that he thought a vice presidential candidate should have, that a VP ought to be prepared to step up and be the president. Bradley felt that he wasn't ready in 1988, so he took himself out of the running as a possible VP candidate under Dukakis.
Yeah.
I would ask you to look up that article and read it. And I think I voted for Bradley when he was on the ballot in Oregon. It was either 2000 or 2004, maybe you can remember which. But Bill Bradley strikes me as a very thoughtful, intelligent kind of guy, Rhodes Scholar. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of person that I think we should have as a candidate for our party. I don't think that Edwards is anywhere near that. I know you like him. I know you like his
position. No, I got it, Mary. I got your opinion. And thanks for sharing it with us. Lawrence in Berkeley, California. Hey, Lawrence.
Yeah, how wonderful, because I'm going to vote for Edwards in here in California. I was going to vote for Kucinich under the assumption that, you know, when he didn't make it, he would cast his delegates over to Edwards. But now that
he did 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But now that he has made his switch to Obama, I have to vote for Edwards directly. And it really demonstrates that Kucinich is not politically mature, because his policies are very similar to Edwards. Kucinich says that he wants to withdraw from Iraq in 3 months. Edwards says that he will take 9 months to totally take the troops out.
Kucinich and Edwards are the only two candidates now who are saying absolutely that's it. Actually, I think Bill Richardson
Richardson, too. Yeah, I like Richardson
saying,
a lot.
You know, we're going to get out completely within a year.
But Edwards has a better chance. And, and Obama is saying that he won't pledge to have his have the troops out for his entire term for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So for Kucinich to go over to Obama when his policies are so much more similar to Edwards is just really a matter of personal pique. You should stick to what the policies are, and therefore I vote directly for Edwards.
Okay. Lawrence, thanks a lot for sharing with us. As I said yesterday, it's got a lot of us scratching our heads. 45 minutes past the hour. Our telephone number, 866-303-2270. If you want to drop into our live chat room, TomHartman.com, we'll get you there. There's a blog also over at AirAmerica.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tom Hartman, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Who said the hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax? It was Albert Einstein. Now, if he had a hard time figuring it out, what about the rest of us mere mortals? Many of us can and do find ourselves in a jam with the IRS. Luckily for you, there's Taxmasters. The former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters will solve your IRS problems. Do you owe back taxes? Being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Has an IRS agent visited your home or your place of business? Write this number down. 1-800-581-0452. Again, 1-800-581-0452. The former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters are waiting for your call to help solve your IRS problems right now. So call or go to txmstr.com for more info. You do not want to represent yourself with the IRS. Taxmasters has helped many good people just like you. The IRS has stepped up its collection efforts, so now more than ever, you need to call Taxmasters. Call Taxmasters right now at 1-800-581-0452. Taxmasters will solve your IRS problems.
Rachel Maddow.
Bush says the phone companies should be insulated from lawsuits because they were only trying to help out the government after 9/11.
Evenings, 6 to 8.
You want to know what we've learned since then? The government was telling phone companies to help them spy on us before 9/11.
Rachel Maddow.
So if you think that, yeah, it's creepy for the government to be spying on us.
Evenings, 6 to 8.
Then you have to ask yourself why it was that they were doing that stuff before 9/11.
On AM 620 KPOJ. Streaming at 620KPOJ.com.
This is the Mortgage Moment, and I'm here with Hayes Barnard, owner of Paramount Equity Mortgage. Hayes, why is the Fed's third rate cut in a row dominating the news?
Because the Fed just sent in the cavalry and blasted mortgage rates through the floor. This is a monumental opportunity for homeowners to reduce their monthly payments and wipe out debt.
So is this triggering a refinancing frenzy?
Absolutely. Now's a crucial moment for savvy homeowners to jump off the sidelines and lock in fixed rates as low as 5.8% with an APR of 5.9.
Okay, but when does this window of opportunity disappear?
It could literally be gone tomorrow. The economy is changing so rapidly, you can't afford not to make 1 5-minute call and take action right now. Listen, you can refinance at this pivotal time with zero out-of-pocket expenses, and I'm so confident we can help you, I'll even pay for your home to be appraised. Paramount Equity is the Oregon company committed to saving our neighbors money. Call 718-1000 today. 503-718-1000.
The January clearance is going on now at Standard TV and Appliance. It's a total inventory blowout. Display models, demos, one-of-a-kind, scratch and dent, and closeouts. Many items at, near, or even below actual dealer costs.
Refrigerators from $378, washers starting at $267, and dishwashers from $187. Buy a Sony 46-inch LCD 1080p projection HD TV for only $899.
These prices are good for stock on hand, so shop early.
Sensational savings going on this week. The January clearance sale at Standard TV and Appliance.
We guarantee the lowest prices on Sony, Toshiba, LG, Mitsubishi, Whirlpool, GE, KitchenAid, Maytag, Frigidaire, Simmons, and more.
Standard in Portland on Southeast 82nd and Foster, in Tigard on Highway 99, in Bend on Highway 97, and in Beaverton, one block east of Cedar Hills Boulevard on Hall.
Sensational savings are waiting for you at Standard TV and Appliance.
Here we go with some upcoming events at the Rose Quarter. Walking with Dinosaurs, the live experience, Wednesday through Sunday, January 16th through the 20th. Blue Man Group, Saturday, January 26th. Smucker's, Stars on Ice, Saturday, February 2nd. AVP Pro Beach Volleyball Hot Winter Tour, Saturday, February 16th, and the Harlem Globetrotters, Saturday, February 23rd. To get pre-sales, exclusive offers, and prizes, join the Rose Quarter Cyber Club. For more information, please visit rosequarter.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Participate, join, show up. Send the candidate of your choice $5, $10, $50, whatever you can afford. Say, okay, this week I'm not going to go out for a pizza. I'm going to send some, you know, $15, $25, whatever to, you know, fill in the blank. The candidate of your choice, whoever it may be, get involved. Meredith McKenzie is with us with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com in Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, Meredith.
Hi, how's it going, Tom?
Just great. Glad to have you with us on the program. So the Iowa caucuses, have they begun?
No, they're tonight.
They're tonight. They start at 5, don't they?
They start at 6 o'clock Central Time.
6 o'clock.
And they'll go probably till about 10.
Okay, so that would be 5 o'clock Eastern Time, or where did I get the 5 o'clock from? In any case, 6 o'clock Central Time.
So that'll be 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that would be 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Right. Okay. And we're going to, do you think we're going to get early returns? I mean, how's this all going to play out tonight?
Well, the Republican returns are going to come back first, and just because the Republican caucus is a little bit simpler of a procedure, it's more like a straw poll. There will be ballots cast, and so this makes it a little bit easier to count. Also, there's not this viability rule that exists with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But a Democratic caucus, you have to have at least 15% of the people present supporting you as a candidate for you to get those votes. And if it doesn't happen, everybody switches around and tries to get more people to join their group, or they go and join another group if their group isn't viable.
Right.
But this doesn't exist with the Republicans, so those results will probably be coming in first, and then we'll have to wait for the Democratic ones.
Okay. And how's the jockeying for position here? I hate the horse race metaphor, but what are the latest polls showing? I know there was a new Zogby poll this morning, as I recall.
That's pretty much the big news, the new Zogby poll, which puts Barack Obama at 31, John Edwards at 27, and Hillary Clinton in third place with 24, just from overnight. And this new poll is the only one so far that's put Hillary in third place.
Hmm. Interesting. And
I'll be down there.
Okay. And any further thoughts on this, Meredith, or shall we let you get on?
No, I mean, it's a really tight race, and all the candidates are just in the melee today. They're out there. They're getting they're vote shopping. It comes across to me a little bit like Christmas all over again here in Iowa. You know, it's that last minute shopping for votes is what's going on. The Republicans too are scrambling. They're looking for votes, and that poll. That same poll, the Zogby poll, has put Mike Huckabee ahead of Mitt Romney by 5 percentage points.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, it's going to be a very interesting time. Meredith, thanks for the update.
Thank you.
It's great to hear from you. Meredith McKenzie with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com in Des Moines, Iowa. 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number. Mary in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Hey, Mary, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Just finished reading your book, Screwed, and then decided to tackle Conscience of a Liberal. And I heard you talking earlier about describing progressives as angry. And I was really quite shocked when I, you know, thought back about it, because that was one of the things that I took out of the book. At the end of the book, he talks about the difference between progressives and liberals. And I'm, like, looking at this going, we don't have to worry about the Republicans attacking us. We can obviously do it to ourselves. And I thought, anger, you know, at this point, people are angry.
Yeah.
But that's not all they are.
No.
And I think when we let them dominate the conversation with that by saying, you know, we shouldn't be angry about the fact that our children don't have health care. We shouldn't be, you know, those
right.
are just that's letting somebody else dictate the terms. And I think
absolutely.
That's what people are most angry about.
Yep, yep. Very well said, and I totally agree. And this is this same thing happened with Howard Dean. Once the media figured out that Howard Dean was a progressive and not just a kind of a DLC Democrat or a moderate liberal or something like that, once they figured out that he was a progressive, then it was, oh, Howard Dean, he's the angry one. It's happening all over again. Dave in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hello, Tom. Tom, just a little balance from the lady from Oregon that didn't like John Edwards' records, record. To me, it was just enough of a record in Washington. I think he didn't like what he saw, and John Edwards' message is certainly he does want change, and I think that's what we need. That lack of record in Washington is exactly what I think we're looking for. And as far as a trial attorney, I mean, Abe Lincoln was an attorney. I think the middle America needs somebody in Washington that will fight for them, and him making millions of dollars for defending people. I mean, what's wrong with that? The people that are controlling this country now have millions and millions of dollars, and it doesn't seem to bother a lot of the voters, and you know, offshore wealth and things like that. So John Edwards, I think, would be a fighter. He was dead right on a lot of the issues, campaign reform, health care, and fighting for middle America. I think he'd be a great change.
Okay. Dave, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Chris in Eugene, Oregon. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Just great.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that you posed the question, if you're 1 week away from becoming homeless, are you really free?
Right.
I am, and no, I'm not.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, I'm 1 week away from becoming homeless, and no, I'm not free. I do not feel like that. Right. I am out there. I've been looking for a job for 6 months, and I can't find one. And I use the Internet. I go to places, submit applications. There's something wrong in this country, and I don't know what it is.
Well, a large part of it is that probably somewhere between 5 and 15 million jobs have been sent offshore. I mean, you start with that.
Yeah.
You know, that our manufacturing base has been hollowed out. It's what we. But you're absolutely right. You're not free if you're a week away from homelessness. And Chris, I wish you the very best, and I hope that you find a place. And
yeah, me too.
You know,
yeah. By the way, is there anything that the United States actually produces and sells to other countries anymore?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's few and far between. It's very rare. I remember back 25 years ago or so, Sam Walton's slogan was Made in America, you know, the original Walmart slogan. So, yeah, no, there's very little that we make in America anymore, and all the more the tragedy. And this is the result of these insane trade policies and these insane economic policies that were initiated by Ronald Reagan, pushed very hard by George Herbert Walker Bush, brought to full fruition by Bill Clinton signing NAFTA and GATT and the WTO, and now put on steroids by George W. Bush. 57 minutes past the hour.
The Tom Hartman Program. The True People's Radio. Tom Hartman. Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide. 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. Joan McCarter is on the line with us, our Best of the Rest of the News Thursday feature. She's a contributing editor at the Daily Kos, dailykos.com, the website. And hey, Joan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Great to have you back here with us. What are you seeing over at the Kos as the top news stories of the day?
Well, today, not surprisingly, it's all about Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And I think it probably will be tomorrow, too. It's a really fascinating day when, what is it, 1/6 of 1% of the population of Iowa might get to decide who's going to be our presidential nominee.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. And therefore, well, so what's the gestalt, you know, over at the Daily Kos, what's the general take that your bloggers and readers and participants are laying out? What are the concerns? What are the hopes? What are the arguments?
Well, for most of us, we have some very strong partisans for all of the candidates on the site, well, almost all of the candidates. But for most of the people reading and commenting, it's that we're really glad we've got the slate that we do and that we're not the Republicans.
Mm. Yeah.
Because this really is a very, very strong set of candidates. Any of the top three would be fantastic to take to the general election.
Actually, I'd say any of the top six would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, or six or seven or whatever it is. It's, yeah, all anybody but Mike Gravel.
Pretty much, yes. And you know, on his good days, Mike Gravel could be excellent.
Yeah, he's better than Huckabee. I mean, he's better than any of the Republicans, frankly. But, yeah. So
I believe so. You know, he hasn't mentioned the Soviet Union at all in this campaign. So, you know, he's living in the 21st century.
Yeah. So what are the... What are the stories that you're seeing over at the Daily Kos that are the things coming down the road that maybe we're not noticing we should be?
Well, I think people are going to notice it, but maybe it's at the back of their minds. The FISA fight over telecom amnesty is going to be back on the floor probably next week, the week after, when the Senate comes back into session. If you remember, Chris Dodd led his semi-filibuster.
Yeah, we had him on the show the next day to thank him for it. It was amazing what he did.
It was amazing what he did, but he's going to have to do it again. And what was amazing as well is that we got well over 500,000 phone calls and emails to the Senate in the few days leading up to this debate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people power made a big difference here.
Yeah.
Dodd made all of the difference, but we're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, Dodd, not God. Right.
Dodd.
You didn't suddenly become Mike Huckabee.
Okay. No, Chris Dodd was sent. And in fact, last night we had the truly first in the nation caucus here in Seattle at our Drinking Liberally.
Uh-huh.
It was not binding.
Uh-huh. But okay, what was the outcome?
Dodd came in a very, very strong third.
Uh-huh.
Interesting enough. He, Obama, and Edwards all ended up with two delegates from our group. And Obama got 17 of the votes, Edwards 16, and Dodd 13.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's pretty good. You know,
and, you know, that was largely because of what he's been doing in the Senate. Because he's,
There's one of those tests, one of those online tests out there where you can plug in all your takes on the issues and it tells you which candidates are most closely aligned to you. And, you know, I did that and found it was Kucinich and Dodd were right up at the top of the list. He's far more progressive than I had initially thought. And when I started digging into his voting record, I was pleasantly surprised. So it'll be interesting
sort of
to see.
It's unfair when you're a very senatorial-looking, white-haired man from Connecticut and you've been in the Senate most of your adult life. People have certain preconceptions about you.
Well, yeah, and he hasn't done the firebrand thing. You know, he never really did the Russ Feingold, you know, I'm out here, I'm fighting kind of thing. He did it quietly. He did it. But he's been doing it, like you said, for years and years and years.
Yep.
He's been taking a lot of very progressive positions. And
we wouldn't have family and medical leave without Chris Dodd.
Yeah, among other things. Yep. So, okay. Well, Joan McCarter, the contributing editor over at the Daily Kos, dailykos.com, the website. Anything you want to add, Joan?
I think what will be interesting is what we see what comes up after Iowa and New Hampshire when we actually maybe have the slate set, the issues that come up in the general election. And I am looking at global warming as being one of the key ones.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Well, thank you very much for sharing the perspective of the Daily Kos with us today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Great talking with you. Joan McCarter, she's a contributing editor over at the Daily Kos, dailykos.com, the website. 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number. And let's see, Stephen in New York City. Stephen, welcome to the program. Hey, Stephen.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi there, Tom. Just want to let you know, first of all, I'm a big fan. And I'm also a big fan of Dennis Kucinich, as well as John Edwards. And I had read something that yesterday that Edwards thought that he may have been hurt by Dennis Kucinich pushing his delegates on over to him in 2004. I'm just wondering if you'd heard anything about that, or maybe some of your listeners have heard anything about that.
No, in fact, the conventional wisdom is that Edwards came in second in Iowa in part as a consequence. In other words, he showed better than he might otherwise have, as a consequence of Kucinich suggesting to his delegates that they should vote for Edwards if he didn't hit 15%. So,
well, I was thinking maybe he thought that it maybe cast him as too much of a liberal, perhaps.
No. I mean, Edwards is out there unabashedly, unashamedly campaigning as the progressive, or as a progressive candidate, as a leading progressive candidate. I don't think there's a possibility. But it's an interesting thought, but I don't think it's a chance about it here. Kim in San Francisco. Hey, Kim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, another great show.
Thank you.
You know what I think, and tell me, I have two things to say. First of all, I think if Hillary came in third today, it would be the best possible thing for her because people have resented the fact that Hillary is inevitable. And that would sure take away the patina of inevitability. The other thing that I have to say is, when are the candidates going to talk candidly and honestly about an issue that concerns me? And as a liberal Democrat, I've got to say that immigration, illegal immigration, concerns me deeply.
It's an issue that most of I think all of the Democrats are afraid to touch, and the Republicans are afraid to discuss in any kind of rational terms. I mean, you've got this weird coalition going on over on the right where you've got the racists, the people are, oh my God, there's brown people coming here. You know, they're kind of Pat Buchanan, they're going to change the culture of America, as if, you know, the culture of America is supposed to be fixed and unyielding and forever WASP or something, or, you know, some variation of it. And combining with the people who have, frankly, I think a legitimate economic concern about immigration into the United States. And this was the beginning, really, of the populist and progressive
right.
movement in the United States in the 1880s, when
right.
the railroads were importing people from China to break the unions, the early unions. And the populists and the progressives were arguing for laws to make it illegal to import labor in order to break unions. And in fact, they actually did in the 1880s pass a law against that that was viewed by many. They formed a coalition with the racists because it specifically just outlawed importing people from China. And so it's like there's this weird thing. And then they come up with this very bizarre logic, like, well, the reason that they're all coming here is because there's not a fence. And, you know, we've had a border with Mexico for a couple hundred years. I mean, you know, there's never been a fence. Reason they're coming here is because people are hiring them.
Right. Can I say something real quick about that? My life, where I live in San Francisco, it is so diverse, and we have been blessed by that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Personally, I have been... I live in a neighborhood, my husband, myself, and our daughter live in a neighborhood where we are by far the minority. We have been blessed, but I have to say right across the bridge is Richmond and East Oakland, and you have no idea. It is like a third world in Richmond. These are mostly African-American workers, the son and the daughter of Rosie the Riveter, who, by the way, Rosie was, at least in the East Bay, was African-American. There are people living in homes where the top floor is burned out.
Yeah.
It is not a...
This is the problem, Kim, is that when you have an assault on the middle class, and there's been a variety of them, and I'd say immigration is one of the smaller ones, but it's one of the more visible ones. When you have an assault on the middle class, the people at the bottom end of the middle class get hit, or at the top end of the working poor, or just plain old the working poor, they get hit first and the hardest. So, you know, it's a good point. 16 minutes past the hour.
Program taking back the mainstream media
3 hours a day,
5 days a week.
A bleeding heart independent. Tom Hartman, nationwide on AM 620 KPOJ.
My name is Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock. What I'm about to tell you is true. My social security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, we give you a $1 million guarantee that your identity will not be stolen.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-607-9187 now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-607-9187. That's 1-800-607-9187. Again, 1-800-607-9187.
It's the one and only Mike Malloy.
Do you know this, that the Fifth Amendment has been declared null and void? That was the executive order that slithered out of the Bush crime family this week. It opens up the possibility of anti-war protesters having their property confiscated for simply speaking out against the war.
Mike Malloy, nights just got a little louder. Right here on Portland's only progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ and 620 KPOJ.
Stunning green landscapes, ancient forests older than our nation, and clear streams filled with wild salmon are part of what makes Oregon so special. But during its final year in office, the Bush administration is planning to accelerate clear-cut logging across hundreds of thousands of acres of public land managed by the Bureau of Land Management, increasing landslide risk and harming water quality. This includes ancient forests and drinking watersheds from the Portland area to southern Oregon's Rogue River. Forests that also provide clean air and protection against global warming. But you can make a difference. The comment period for this terrible plan ends on January 11th. Please take a moment today to stand up to the Bush administration and stop them from selling off Oregon's wild forest heritage and clean water. Visit oregon.sierraclub.org to take action and send a letter to your members of Congress and the governor. Again, that address is oregon.sierraclub.org. Brought to you by the 24,000 members of the Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club.
Become the office hero with advanced training in Microsoft Word, Excel, or PowerPoint. Let PCC's Computer Ed program train you with affordable classes and workplace applications. New classes start every week, so register now at computers.pcc.edu.
Now at Staples, you'll find the largest selection of original Dell ink and toner, plus a wide selection of Dell laptops, desktops, printers, all-in-ones, and monitors. See it, touch it, take it with you. Staples. That was easy.
AM 620, KPOJ and the Portland Police present Crime Stoppers, a public campaign against crime in the Northwest.
Joshua Jeffrey's mom and dad want to know who killed their 11-year-old son. This unsolved puzzler from the Portland Police Bureau Cold Case Unit needs your help. In August of 2001, somebody sneaked into Joshua Jeffrey's house through an unlocked back door at Southeast 48th and Bybee. Joshua was asleep in his bedroom. The intruder shot him and killed him. Joshua Jeffrey's was 11. Who killed Joshua Jeffrey's and why? Crime Stoppers is offering you a cash reward of up to $1,000. Call 823-HELP.
If you have information about this or any other crime, call the Crime Stoppers hotline at 823-HELP, 823-HELP, and help slam the door on crime. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'ma show you how to take control. Gotta vote, yeah, you know how it goes. But y'all looking for the cars and clothes, and this other man hope is that y'all don't vote, cause even he know majority rules. Keep majority of the minority fooled. Your vote really does matter, dude, and that attitude, government's loving it, so if you're looking for your retribution, be part of the problem or the solution. Really, all due respect, kid, voting is free, last time I checked it. Look at he crooked and he connected. You don't vote, then he getting reelected. See, I'ma tell
21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman program today brought to you in part by the 200,000 health and hospital workers at SEIU 1199, fighting for quality, affordable health care for all Americans. Keeping our families healthy should be a right, not a privilege. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Keith in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey, Keith, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I think Rich Lowry was correct. If you look at the language Edwards is using, demonizing one group of Americans to win an election, it's just wrong to do this. It's okay to have political positions, but this us versus them, calling people greedy, blaming anybody working.
So you think that a guy who is the CEO of a health insurance company that's supposed to be paying for your and my health insurance, who makes a $1.78 billion paycheck, is not greedy?
Is John Edwards greedy?
That wasn't my question. My question is, do you think that William Maguire is greedy? Are you suggesting that people who are CEOs of big corporations?
I think people ought to be very careful calling other people greedy. That's what I think, especially millionaire trial lawyers who got rich suing obstetricians.
Yeah.
And so
John Edwards was not suing obstetricians. His most successful lawsuit was against a company.
Cerebral palsy victims that were really accidents, and they were just doctors trying to deliver babies. And he made $26 million his best year.
Oh, come on, Keith. Diane in Hayward, Michigan. Hey, Diane, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. I'm concerned about the primary election in Michigan on January 15th.
Yeah.
I went to the Michigan Democratic website, and not all of the candidates are listed on the ballot.
That's right.
We have our Hillary Clinton, Christopher Dodd, Mike Gravel, and Dennis Kucinich, and those who think they can write in either Joe Biden, John Edwards, Barack Obama, or Bill Richardson will get their votes thrown out.
Right. And there's some unique thing about the Michigan ballot that has to do with how you should write that in. And I'm going to have to track it down. Oh, here it is right here.
You have to vote uncommitted.
That's right. Thank you very much. You know, just write the word uncommitted instead of writing in your candidate's name, because otherwise it'll be thrown out. And this is the tragedy of, you know, how Michigan and the Democratic Party, and I think it's just a shame that it worked out this way, because it's going to hurt the Democratic Party. It's going to hurt Democratic candidates in the state of Michigan long term. And
not many people know about it. They look at me like I have three heads when I tell them.
Yeah, no, it's you're absolutely right. And in fact, Diana, it's your email that had first turned me out of the whole thing about voting uncommitted. And I appreciate
that. Oh, you did get it. Good.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call and for letting us know about that. Regina in San Francisco. Hey, Regina.
Yes, I'm just calling. I'm going to vote for Kucinich, but I don't think he'll make it, because I don't think he's handsome enough to be a president. Americans are so visual about people, and it's very sad, you know. But I was hoping that if Edwards gets it, maybe he'll use Kucinich in his cabinet or whatever.
Yeah, Dennis Kucinich has a lot of tremendous qualities, and he's been fighting the good fight and talking. For a long, long time on a lot of issues that are very important.
He makes the best sense of any of them. The others are just speaking puff. They're just making up stories, and they're all being bought by big corporations, both parties. I don't like either. I'm an independent. Yeah. I voted for Nader and Perot, and I haven't voted for years. And I just get angry because I think they're all in the same boat, Democrats and Republicans.
Well, I'm not.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I get it, Regina. I wouldn't go quite that far. I'd say that Ron Paul and probably John Edwards and Huckabee. The problem with Huckabee for the Republicans is that the corporatists are very unhappy with him. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Bonnie in Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi. Happy New Year.
A happy New Year to you.
Thank you. John Edwards does have a comprehensive 5-point plan to mitigate the problems of our poorest borders. I heard it on C-SPAN this past weekend. And the first is to fix our horrible trade policies, because NAFTA was sold to us as improving the lives of Mexicans so that they would stay in their home country. And then he had some other points, too, about making employers obey the law and defending our borders and things like that. So people would have to go to his website to check that out. But I originally called to tell you that I agree with your point on populism. Corporate America and its mainstream toady media machine are totally afraid of populism, and it's infected, you know, people. And I find it hopeful because it implies that there's still hope to bring back the idea of we the people are in charge instead of by and for the corporations, because it's much worse when they do ignore us. And we got to call out the media when it has this expression of phobia of people. And I hope to attend a DFA training session that's coming to Pittsburgh soon.
That's great.
And
that's
to great. Learn how to teach people about this.
That's great. It's democracyforamerica.com for our listeners who don't know. Bonnie, thanks a lot for the call, and good on you for showing up for the DFA training. They do a marvelous weekend training program about how to be an activist, how to be a progressive activist. This is the organization that's run by Howard Dean's brother, and it's just extraordinary. Democracyforamerica.com. 27 minutes past the hour. Tom Harbin here with you.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. News without conflicts of global corporate interest. The Tom Hartman Program. Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'ma show you how to take control. Gotta vote, yeah, you know how it goes. But y'all looking for the cars and clothes, and this other man hope is that y'all don't vote, cause even he know majority rules. Keep majority of the minority fooled. Your vote really does matter, dude, and that attitude, government's loving it, so if you're looking for your retribution, be part of the problem or the solution. Really, all due respect, kid, voting is free, last time I checked in.
Look at these. Welcome back, 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, and Christy Harvey is on the line with us. She is the Director of Strategic Communications at the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, their website. And hey, Christy.
Hey, Happy New Year, Tom.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
And happy Iowa Caucus Day.
Indeed, it is.
And it's crazy. I'm obsessed. It's become my candy of today.
Oh, yeah?
I keep sort of gorging myself watching and then saying, okay, no more. I cannot watch any more caucus coverage. I'm cutting myself off for the next hour. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, I'm right back on the horse watching again.
Well, the thing is, the real caucus coverage doesn't start until tonight.
Exactly.
It's when it starts to get real. Right now, it's all pontificators, speculators, pollsters, and pundits.
I know, and I keep getting sucked in. I know it's trash, but I can't stop.
Yeah.
They just, you know, said, you know, Rudy Giuliani's fallen 13 points since September, and for some reason I think that's fascinating. It's not, but I'm really into it.
Well, but he never ran in Iowa anyway.
Well, exactly. So it's all made up.
Yeah, I think he showed up and for one day or something, looked around and said, you know, it's snowing here. I think I'll go
right
to Florida. So anyhow, speaking of snowing and the consequences thereof, we have to heat our homes, and the price of oil is yesterday topped out $100 a barrel. Now, it's... You know, really, the reality is it's trading in the high 90s, apparently. One guy bought one contract and lost $600 on it just so that he could claim that he was the first person to ever trade at $100 a barrel. But it did tip the price above $100 a barrel. And this, in inflation-adjusted terms, we're kind of back into the 70s or 80s. I'd like your take on this, and I want to share some of my thoughts on it with you.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting because it's really a look at what's going on in the world and what's going on with this Bush White House, I think. It's more than just oil is expensive. I think it's important to look at why oil is so expensive. And, for example, like you were saying, that one jerk who just did it on purpose and made it go to $100 just so he wanted to said he wanted to tell his daughter that he'd been the guy who'd done that.
Right. You know, but the bottom line is he only tipped it up about 90 cents.
Well, exactly. But they are saying that one of the reasons that it is up so high right now is because of all the rampant speculation and the hedge fund traders and the banks and things like that. So, in a sense, it's tied to a lot of the other economic crises that we're seeing right now. And there was a really fascinating hearing in the Senate that got very little coverage last week about how, you know, there's really no regulation of any of these. I'm sorry, it was a couple weeks ago, of these commodities markets. And Senator Carl Levin was saying, you know, it's a carnival of greed out there. We've got to keep an eye on what is going on. And the Bush White House and the people who are supposed to be keeping an eye on things said, it's all right. No big deal.
Well, with regard to oil, in the 1970s, we had, you know, there was that huge spike in 72, 73 that with the Arab oil embargo. And a lot of people kind of freaked out about it at that point. And there were some people who were saying, well, the U.S. has hit peak oil. I mean,
right.
this is the point where we are beyond the halfway point of oil, and oil is going to start getting expensive in the United States. And everybody's going, no. You know, L. King Hubbard had first postulated that in, I think, 1955, and he had predicted that it was going to happen in the early 70s. And they were basically poo-pooing it. And it was in the late 70s, early 80s, actually, I think it was late 70s during the Carter administration, that we realized that, yeah, in fact, right around 72, we hit peak oil in the United States, and we have been declining in production ever since then.
Right.
I mean, we hit peak oil on the east coast of the United States in the late 19th, early 20th century. There used to be oil wells all over Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Right.
There used to be oil wells all over Delaware. Where I grew up in Michigan, there used to be oil wells. I mean, we pumped out all that oil from the east coast. And it was the later stuff that got found in the mid-20th century in Montana and in Oklahoma and in North Texas and whatnot, West Texas, and some of it in California that really kind of kept us going, and then ultimately Alaska. But the bottom line is that peak oil in the United States for a while drove up our prices, and then we just started importing a lot more. And there are a lot of people who are suggesting, some good solid science out there suggesting that, number one, many of the oil-producing countries back in the late 80s and early 90s, in 1 year, five of the major oil-producing countries in the world restated their reserves up about 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was no science to back this up, and it coincided with, and Saudi Arabia was one of these countries, it coincided with these countries all looking for an increase in their debt ceiling with the World Bank, which was secured with their oil stockpiles. So by saying we've got more oil, they were able to borrow more money.
Right.
But they actually didn't have the oil. And what's happening now is, in my mind, and in the mind of the folks who agree that we have hit peak oil, is, and look at the front cover of today's Financial Times, for example. There's an incredible graph about this. Is that we probably, as a world, hit peak oil last year or this year. This is it. And it's not going to get any cheaper. Thoughts?
I think you're absolutely right. And plus, there was the OPEC yesterday said that, you know what, they might start to run out and not be able to meet demand as soon as 2024. That's not very far away.
Right. Right.
And just... so that, I think, it also, you know, that sort of unrest. And then I was just looking at all of the different countries that are in trouble and are making the world feel a lot less secure, which also bumps up the price of oil. And you've got the violence going on in Nigeria, which we have completely washed our hands of and will not get involved in or comment on. We've got the oil production in Iraq is still nowhere near it was before we invaded. Our troubles with Venezuela have also helped for the price of oil there to really skyrocket. And so, you know, as I was listing out all of these countries that the U.S. under President Bush has either blundered foreign policy or stirred up the pot or just in some way bungled it, it just really started to show this pattern. And I read this economist who said almost exactly that, and she said that really the prices that we're going to start paying at the pump are a covert tax that U.S. consumers are paying to basically cover the expenses of foolish and bad Bush foreign policy. So the next time someone tells you that President Bush doesn't want to raise your taxes, all you have to do is point to the gas pump.
Well, and I would say it's not just Bush. This is Jimmy Carter in 1979.
The energy crisis is real. It is worldwide. It is a clear and present danger to our nation. These are facts, and we simply must face them. What I have to say to you now about energy is simple and vitally important. Point one, I am tonight setting a clear goal for the energy policy of the United States. Beginning this moment, this nation will never use more foreign oil than we did in 1977. Never.
And here's the one that will really bring tears to your eyes, Christy.
Moreover, I will soon submit legislation to Congress calling for the creation of this nation's first solar bank, which will help us achieve the crucial goal of 20% of our energy coming from solar power by the year 2000.
Now, he actually put us on that road, and a year later, Ronald Reagan was elected,
mm-hmm.
and Reagan came into office, took the solar collectors off the roof of the White House, brought in the oil lobby. I mean, Dick Cheney was put in charge of the Energy Task Force.
Of course he was.
I mean, this is from Reagan till today. Basically, this is the failure of frankly, four administrations in a row.
And I usually don't like to play the what-if game, but can you imagine what if, you know, what if we really stayed on that path?
Yeah.
How different things would be today.
Well,
however, that doesn't really get anybody anywhere. But
yeah, we certainly
still
wouldn't be fighting a war in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
So we can agree that there's a mess there. You also have been the Center for American Progress, and you, Christy Harvey, we're talking with Christy Harvey, the Director of Strategic Communications at the Center for American Progress, talking about political dirty tricks.
Yes. I get fascinated by the political dirty tricks and you know, especially when they get really nasty and really disgusting, and they do almost every year, almost every election cycle. And all too frequently, it really seems like it's one side of the aisle more than another, and they started to come out with some of the stuff that's going on in Iowa that I just thought was pretty interesting. Now, it all started, of course, late last week when someone sent out fake Mitt Romney Christmas cards. Did you see those?
No.
They sent out fake cards supposedly from the Romneys all over South Carolina, which, of course, their Republican vote is on the 19th. And these Christmas cards had, you know, smiling pictures of the Romney family, and they were signed, Ann and Mitt Romney, and had big pictures of the Mormon temple and big paragraphs about how God had multiple wives.
Oh, my.
And the Romney said, yeah, that's not from us, actually.
Who was behind that one?
No one knows. So, bless his heart, the South Carolina Republican Party chair says he's going to call the FBI in on this one. So,
right.
You know, you go do that, sir. But, yeah, that was when it all really started with the really underhanded stuff.
It reminds me of the push polls in South Carolina against John McCain in 2000.
Exactly.
But that was Karl Rove. I mean, Karl Rove is, who's he advising now?
That's what I'm kind of curious, because a lot of these have at least Rovian fingerprint feels to them.
I would guess Giuliani.
Really?
I would get, you know, who really needs to take John McCain down in South Carolina as of, you know, a month ago when this thing had to have been planned, or 2 months ago?
Right.
That would have been the Giuliani campaign, would be my guess. But I'm just guessing. And so anyhow, other political dirty tricks.
Well, now there are some that are coming to light from Iowa, because it's such a nail biter there today. Anything could happen. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Tancredo came back and ran. No, that's a joke. But so they had ones where it turned out that people identifying themselves as Romney backers were calling Mike Huckabee supporters at home last night and helping them out and saying, you know, oh, we've got all the information for the caucus, and giving wrong dates and times and places for today where they were to go and do their caucusing. So
interesting. And do you think these were actually Romney supporters, or were they trying to give Romney a black eye?
We'll probably find out soon, but today we do not know.
Amazing. The Republicans eat their own. But Christy Harvey with the Center for American Progress. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you.
45 minutes past the hour.
The Tom Hartman Program, where smart people get their news. Standing up for freedom, Tom Hartman, nationwide on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
My name is Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock. What I'm about to tell you is true. My social security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, we give you a $1 million guarantee that your identity will not be stolen.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-607-9187 now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-607-9187. That's 1-800-607-9187. Again, 1-800-607-9187.
Blindingly logical.
Yeah, the IPCC report that just came out is as dire a report as I've seen.
Tom Hartman, Heidi Tauber, and Carl Wolfson.
The weight of scientific evidence is no longer in question, and it's just a matter of the will of China and the United States, who are the biggest emitters of CO2, to get on board.
Tom Hartman, Heidi Tauber, and Carl Wolfson.
We have had blinders on from our leaders about probably the most crucial issue we face, and that's the survival of the planet.
Morning 6 to 9, AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Every Portland homeowner out there paying more than 5.8% on your mortgage needs to jump off the sidelines right now to save a substantial amount of money. The Fed's monumental decision to slash rates for the third time in a row has just blasted mortgage rates through the floor. I'm Hayes Barnard, owner of Paramount Equity Mortgage, and today's turbulent economy has just created an unmatched opportunity for you to put real money back in your pocket every single month. Decisive homeowners are rapidly reducing their monthly payments by locking in fixed rates as low as 5.8% with an APR of 5.9. Listen, you can refinance at this pivotal time with zero out-of-pocket expenses, and I'll even pay for your home to be appraised. Paramount Equity is committed to saving our neighbors money. Call 718-1000 today. 503-718-1000.
Paramount Equity.
The January clearance is going on now at Standard TV and Appliance. It's a total inventory blowout. Display models, demos, one-of-a-kind, scratch and dent, and closeouts. Many items at, near, or even below actual dealer costs.
Refrigerators from $378, washers starting at $267, and dishwashers from $187. Buy a Sony 46-inch LCD 1080p projection HD TV for only $899.
These prices are good for stock on hand, so shop early.
Sensational savings going on this week. The January clearance sale at Standard TV and Appliance.
We guarantee the lowest prices on Sony, Toshiba, LG, Mitsubishi, Whirlpool, GE, KitchenAid, Maytag, Frigidaire, Simmons, and more.
Standard in Portland on Southeast 82nd and Foster, in Tigard on Highway 99, in Bend on Highway 97, and in Beaverton, one block east of Cedar Hills Boulevard on Hall.
Sensational savings are waiting for you at Standard TV and Appliance.
Tires, wheels, odds and ends, closeouts, special purchases, and more. It's Bargain Days time at the Les Schwab sign. While supplies last, unique deals at every store. Bargain Days, now at Les Schwab.
The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Before they are, just a quick reminder, Monday and Tuesday of next week we'll be in New Hampshire doing a radio row there for the primaries. 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number, TomHartman.com for our live chat room, AirAmerica.com for our blog. Tom in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Happy New Year, Tom.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. The last conservative right-winger caller who was frothing at the mouth, complaining that Edwards is calling all these corporate pirates greedy, and I just wanted to remind him and you that the greatest president of the 20th century and his wife, Franklin Eleanor Roosevelt, were also rich white folk who were the working people's best friend. And Roosevelt constantly exposed these greedy corporatists as economic royalists, and they, this guy reminds me of those Roosevelt haters that called him a traitor to his class, you know, because he... Yep. Rescued us from the Republican Great Depression.
Yeah, that's why at that point I just cut the call and moved on. I thought it was fairly obvious to everybody what was going on there, and it's like
right. He's going to get more of that as he climbs up. They're going to come after him like that.
Oh yeah, and the fact that Rich Lowry is trashing him in national publications all over the United States, and going on the Hannity show, and it's on the teleprompter. He's reading. I mean, these guys have John Edwards in their sights.
Yeah, they know he's the next FDR.
Yeah, they are very, very worried about him. So, anyway.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom. Great to hear from you, and I appreciate the call. Rick in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening on KTRC. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Tom. Happy New Year.
Thank you, and the same to you.
I just wanted to ask something. Wasn't Congress officially open during the holidays?
It was, and if you're referring to Bush's pocket veto,
yeah,
it's illegal.
Well, I thought so, and nobody's saying anything or doing anything.
Yeah, there's been a few mentions on a few blogs, but and frankly, I was hoping to hear something from Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
and maybe we will. I don't know, when Congress comes back in a session, but it's like I'm mystified.
I was too.
Color me mystified,
yes.
Because he cannot pocket veto something except
if Congress is in session.
Right, except during a congressional recess.
Right.
So, So anyhow, okay. thanks for bringing it up, Rick. I appreciate the call. Hilda in Manhattan. Hey, Hilda.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Well, thank you.
I was really shocked about Kucinich endorsing Barack Obama. Kucinich is very much a constitutionalist, whereas Barack Obama. Unfortunately, when I wrote him a letter about the separation of church and state, he sent me a speech in which he says, what I'm suggesting is this, secularists are wrong when they ask believers to leave their religion on the door before entering into the public square. And he mentions Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, Williams, Jennings Bryant. This doesn't seem to be a constitutional, this seems wrong to me, very wrong. And I am an Edwards supporter.
Well, I don't think Barack Obama is a theocrat, you know, in the Mike Huckabee mold.
I think he believes that religion belongs in government, and I don't.
Yeah. I don't believe that Barack Obama believes that. I think what he's trying to do is say that he's a man of faith and don't worry, he's not hostile to faith.
Unfortunately, this was written in 2006.
Uh-huh.
And you remember at the convention, he said, we live under an awesome God. Why not under an awesome Constitution?
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I'm supporting Senator Edwards. I'm running as a delegate, as a matter of fact. Is because when they asked him about his religion, he said, I have my faith. And kudos. I mean, everyone has a faith, whether it's a super being, a God, or in my case, the Constitution, and a whole bunch of things. But religion, look what we have with George Bush and a religious faith-based office in the White House.
Yeah, it has been a very, very harmful thing to the United States. Hilda, thanks for the call. And it's so ironic, you know, if you go back and you read the letters between Jefferson and Madison about this, out of which came that phrase, the wall of separation between church and state. Jefferson was concerned that should the religious ever acquire political office, that they would turn the United States into a theocracy. He really fought against that. And Madison said, oh, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. The American people saw what happened with Cromwell. They're never going to elect a religious nut a theocrat, somebody wants to run the government or along religious lines to high office. Madison said, my concern is what happens if the government starts giving money to the churches. Then it'll corrupt religion. You know, Madison was a good Christian. I think he was Presbyterian. Jefferson was a deist, not a Christian. And it turns out that they were both right. I mean, both of their fears have come to pass here in the presidency of George W. Bush. Lee in Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Lee.
Hello. Thank you for all your vision. The woman who called about Broder's comments, right, about Edwards.
Yeah.
This is the Republican machine trying to push back because they know that he's the most electable. See, he can beat Bloomberg. If Bloomberg comes up there, I'm afraid he'll beat Hillary or Obama. I'm afraid that Edwards is really the only one that can, and he's the man with the experience and the fundamental educational background. I mean, a trial attorney. We need that to negotiate with other countries. We need that skill, you know. Why is there no diplomacy at this time, you know? And Bloomberg doesn't have those kind of skills because as a New Yorker, I've witnessed that the police under his authority have not changed since Giuliani. The police in this town have been horrible.
Yeah, well,
he's
Bloomberg
not marshaled them in, and I don't think Bloomberg is qualified to be president.
Well, thank you, Lee, for the call. Bloomberg is going to be the wild card, I'm telling you. Coming up tomorrow on the Tom Hartman program, Senator Bernie Sanders, Brunch with Bernie, taking your calls. The president of the Writers Guild, Patrick Verone, is going to drop by. Plus, Anything Goes Friday, your calls on any topic. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Activism begins with you. It's not enough to just vote. Get out there. Get active. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit TomHartmanRadio.com.